All right, so live video starting here. So welcome everyone to another Facebook Live. Haven't done one of these in a while, but cool. So now it looks like we're all ready to go. Okay, so welcome to the Facebook Live here. This is what I'm doing here is I've got a presentation I'm doing this evening on better breathing. A buddy of mine is a chiropractor, invited me to come and do a presentation. And I've done this before, but I haven't had a chance to do it in a little while. Just had some other things going on. And so I wanted to get a chance to practice it. And so I thought a good way to do that would be to have a Facebook Live where I could get a chance to go over the material. So get ready for my presentation tonight, but also share some good information with you guys as well. So if you happen to join the live, want to see the recording, I appreciate it. But that's kind of the idea. So better breathing, why is it important? And so this is something I've been really, kind of a common theme in my blog posts and podcasts and stuff lately has been the need for people to think more about better breathing and what it is and why it's important. And the reason is that it impacts your life in three important ways, right? So it's going to impact your performance, it's going to impact your recovery, and it's going to impact your mindset. So these are, you know, three very important aspects of your life, right? So improving your performance, right? If you're a mountain biker, then obviously that's something that you're interested in. Better breathing is going to increase your muscle oxygenation, how much oxygen is getting to your muscles. It's going to improve your movement efficiency, right? Better breathing, like when you're using inefficient breathing patterns, you're also going to use inefficient movement patterns. And it's also going to give you decreased breathlessness during training and performing. So improving specifically your CO2 tolerance, which I'll touch on here in a second, is a part of improving your breathing. And that CO2 tolerance is what is directly connected to that kind of panicky, I can't catch my breath, feeling. And so I keep getting these stinking things that pop up. Every time I come onto Facebook Live, it's got a little bit new system and platform, and they keep popping things up on me here. So I apologize if I'm getting a little distracted because I'm not used to that. So I will just ignore those things and keep on going. So so better recovery, right? Remember, your results come from training plus recovery. So the better you're recovering, the better results you're going to get from what you're doing. And better breathing is going to improve this through improved sleep, right? Your breathing quality is directly tied to your sleep quality. It's decreased inflammation, and it's also going to improve your blood pH. And all of these things are factors in how well you're recovering from what you're doing. So, you know, your training, your life stress, riding, all of those things. And then finally, an improved mindset, which is, you know, really important again for just daily life, but also for performance. As mountain bikers, you know, mountain biking is a dangerous sport. It does require a certain type of mindset to be able to do well at it. So with better breathing, it's going to help you control your stress levels. It's going to give you better focus and concentration on what you're doing. And you're also going to be able to control your performance related anxiety better. So if you compete and deal with pre-race jitters, then your breathing can help control that and impact that as well. So again, these three things are big parts of what we're doing, right? Your performance, your recovery, and your mindset have a big impact on your everything that you do, right? So this makes better breathing the one lever that you can pull that's going to improve everything else. When you improve your breathing, you're going to improve your performance, you're going to improve your recovery, you're going to improve your mindset, right? You're going to improve your sleep, all these things that I just touched on, all these things are going to improve through better breathing. And so it's that low-hanging fruit that a lot of people just aren't taking advantage of. And, you know, unfortunately, they're spending time trying to figure out the best, you know, bike equipment to have, the best training program, the best cardio, the best nutrition. And then they're leaving their breathing just on the table, kind of to chance. You know, maybe they're thinking about, you know, we'll breathe in on the way up and out on the way down, or they get some sort of, you know, breathing pattern that they use when they're lifting weights. But it really isn't something that people dig into the way that they should. And so for myself, I've been through, I've always known the importance, not always, but, better breathing or the importance of breathing is something that I've been aware of for a long time. But it's really over the last couple of years that I dove really deep into this and realized that, man, we're just scratching the surface and there's a lot of stuff that that we're not taking advantage of by not paying more attention to this. And so, myself getting certified through the XPT organization and also the Oxygen Advantage and doing a bunch of webinars and workshops and just other educational opportunities over the last few years has opened my eyes to a whole world of opportunities and ways that we can improve these things through better breathing. And so, better breathing, it is foundational, right? This is your breathing is the foundation for everything else that you do, and it is transformational, right? Like when you improve your breathing, or if you have bad breathing habits, which I'll touch on here in a second, some of the common breathing dysfunctions, and you fix those things, it can be transformational as far as your mindset and how you're feeling and how your performing goes. But the thing is, it's not rocket science, okay? You don't have to be, spend a ton of time, like be a yogi who retreats into a cave for 15 years and meditates to really get the benefits from better breathing and some of the tools and methods you can use to improve that. And so the common breathing dysfunctions that you want to be aware of, the first is overbreathing. And this is a really common one. And overbreathing is when you are breathing more than what the metabolic demands for the moment are. And so a good way to test this is at rest. Okay, so just take a stopwatch and see how many breaths you take in a minute. And anything over 8 to 10 breaths in a minute is considered overbreathing. And I will bet that most of you watching this are over that 8 to 10 breaths per minute. And so again, it's a super common thing that we don't really think about it. It's this like, well, what's the big deal? Who cares if you're over breathing? Well, one, it's inefficient. And two, you're blowing off, not only are you taking more oxygen than you need, but you're also blowing off more CO2, carbon dioxide, than you need. And carbon dioxide is not just a waste gas that we need to get rid of. Okay, it plays a very important metabolic role in the body, where your body uses carbon dioxide to help it release oxygen from red blood cells. It's called the Bohr effect. And so you need CO2 in the body to release the red blood cells. And so if you have chronically lowered levels of CO2, then you're going to have trouble oxygenating working muscles as efficiently. And so the other aspect of that is rising levels of CO2, or what trigger that breathless, I can't catch my breath feeling. Okay, it is a primitive little lizard brain thing, right? There's a difference between running out of gas and getting breathless. And getting breathless is that panicky, I gotta catch my breath. It forces you to stop or slow down. And as soon as you catch your breath, you're fine, right? You can keep going. But in that moment, it can get pretty intense as far as like, holy crap, I can't catch my breath. Am I gonna be able to catch my breath? And so, high rising levels of CO2 are what trigger that. So you've got this kind of paradox where you need CO2 to release red blood cells or oxygen from the red blood cells, but too much or, rising levels of CO2 trigger that panicky, I gotta catch my breath feeling that can derail your performance. And so when you're overbreathing and you have these chronically lowered levels of CO2, then you're screwing that up from both directions. Like one, you're going to have less CO2 available to release oxygen from red blood cells, but you're also going to take less of a rise of CO2 to trigger that, holy crap, I got to breathe feeling. And so this is why overbreathing is so bad. Okay, so doing it at rest and doing it when you sleep, doing it when you're performing, we tend to do it a lot. And like I said, it has a direct impact on several things, but specifically those CO2 levels get impacted in a negative way from overbreathing. And so another thing that you need to watch for is vertical breathing. And that's basically also known as chest breathing. So if you're to put your hand on your chest or you're to watch, yourself breathe, and if you see your chest and shoulders rising up as you're breathing like this, that's no good. Okay, that's vertical breathing. Like you should, if you are breathing up into the chest, it should be expanding more out, Okay. Right where you're able to breathe fully in, but you don't see the shoulders and the chest rising as you're doing that. And so that's just an inefficient way to breathe. You're using your other muscles besides the you want to use the diaphragm and the intercostals. Okay, those are your respiratory muscles. And those, if you're using if this vertical breathing is an indication that you're using muscles other than that, all right? So it's an inefficient way to breathe, and it's also going to mean that you're going to move less efficiently, right? So the muscles, your body's primary thing is to breathe, right? Its primary objective. Because if you can go for days without food, days without water, right? But you can't go more than a few minutes without oxygen. And so your body's primary thing from moment to moment, for the most part, is making sure that you can continue to breathe. And so if you develop a way of breathing that's using your muscles to breathe, and not the respiratory muscles, but muscles that are meant for bracing or moving or whatever, then as you go to move, it's not gonna give that up, right? It's gonna continue to use those inefficient breathing patterns, and you're just gonna have to learn how to like work around it. And so again, this is just a bad for performance. Vertical breathing also tends to trigger more of a stress response. And so it's like being chased by the world's slowest bear all day long, right? You're breathing in this like breathing pattern that usually you would only use for the highest efforts, right? When you really have to put out a lot of energy, like you're running from a bear, right? But then you're doing it slowly all day long, and it will trigger that stress response. So there's a lot of things that will happen from the vertical breathing. Along with that is reverse breathing. And so if you were to put your hand down on your belly button or just above your belly button, which when you breathe in, you should feel pressure pushing your hand out. And then as you breathe out, that pressure should decrease and the hand collapses, comes back in as the stomach, the belly collapses. This is where belly breathing comes from, although I don't like that term because it makes people think that you actually want to use the belly muscles to breathe. That's not what you're wanting to do. If you use the diaphragm, right? Diaphragm is the dome-shaped muscle underneath the lungs. As you breathe in, it flattens out, and that's what pulls air into the lungs. And as you breathe out, it relaxes, goes back to the dome shape, and that's what pushes the air out. And as you're breathing in and it comes down, it's pushing on the gut and the viscera and everything, and that's what creates that pressure that pushes the belly out. And so you can use the belly. I've seen it happen with people where they actually are so focused on belly breathing that they're actually using their abdominal muscles to drive their breathing, which is not what you want to do. But beyond that, the reverse breathing is where you're reversing that pattern, where when you breathe in, your belly comes in, and when you breathe out, it goes out. So, when you breathe in, the belly comes in, and when you breathe out, the belly pushes out. That's the reverse of what you want to have happening. And that's usually tied into vertical breathing. You'll find that the people that do vertical breathing will also tend to have some reverse breathing as well. They just kind of tie in together. But that's another breathing dysfunction that you need to be aware of. And then finally, the last common one is sleep apnea. And along with this is snoring. Okay? Snoring is a type of breathing dysfunction, and it will lead to sleep apnea a lot of the times. And sleep apnea, where you are unknowingly holding your breath throughout the night, is no good. It is, just do a little research on sleep apnea and the effects that it has on sleep and health and stuff, and you'll see it's a terrible thing that you want to avoid. And so, anyways, but that's, your sleep or your breathing dysfunctions, right? You don't wake up one day with sleep apnea, right? It happened over time, and there were other breathing dysfunctions that were manifesting themselves and showing themselves that weren't being addressed, that eventually led down the road to sleep apnea. And that's not, so you can address these things, hopefully, like before you get to that point. But if you're snoring, then that's a good sign that you're on that road and you want to address that. And, I'll talk about that here in a second, something that you can do. This is something, especially if you're over 40, that you need to think about, because if you're over 40 years old, then you are 60% more likely to spend half the night mouth breathing. Okay, and that's really bad. If you're mouth breathing at night, then that's just, again, inefficient breathing. You're going to tend to be over breathing. It's going to lead to snoring and sleep apnea. So the mouth breathing is a bad habit. And but the chance or the odds of us suffering from that increase as we get older. And so definitely something the 40-plus-year-old rider needs to be paying attention to. So those are your common breathing dysfunctions. And along with the breathing dysfunctions, just understanding what those are, the other thing is understanding the importance of CO2, which I touched on, how you need CO2 both to release oxygen from red blood cells, but you also need, or CO2 is also what triggers that, breathless, like I can't breathe feeling. And so it's finding a balance there that's important. But once you understand those things, okay, what are the common breathing dysfunctions? And then, the importance of CO2, like those two things right there will give you pretty much everything you need to know to improve your own breathing. And so, as part of the, improving your breathing, old Chinese saying, to be different from what you are, you must first know what you are. And he said, that's where I always tell people that's what it is. So I don't know where I got that from, but it sounds better when I say it's an old Chinese saying. So anyways, but it is true, right? Like you can't change what you are until you know what you are. And so this is where assessments come in. And so how do you know whether you've got some of these breathing dysfunctions? Well, there's a couple easy assessments that you can do that will help you figure that out, right? So the first one I already touched on, which is breaths per minute. Okay, just how many breaths do you take in a minute? And anything over, 8 breaths, 8 to 10 breaths is going to be considered overbreathing. And so if you're overbreathing at rest, then odds are going to be pretty high that you're also overbreathing when you're working, okay? When you're training or riding or whatever you're doing, that you're probably overbreathing for that as well. Excuse me. The other thing is the BOLT score. It's the body oxygen level test. And this measures your how sensitive you are to rising levels of CO2. And so what you do is you take a from nice and relaxed, right? You don't do this right after you've been, working or you're still breathing hard. So when you're relaxed, you sit down and you take a normal breath in and a normal breath out, and then you pinch and hold, pinch your nose and hold your breath on the exhale, and you wait and see, you time how long does it take for you to start getting that I need to breathe feeling. Okay, it's not a maximum hold. You're not trying to see how long you can push yourself into that. You're just seeing when does it start to trigger it? When do I start to feel that? And it can be like some tightness in the chest or the throat. It may be, the little voice starting to scream at you. Okay, it can manifest itself in different ways for different people. But what is, when do you start to get that I got to breathe feeling coming on? And what you're looking for, preferably, is to be able to do that for 25 to 30 seconds. And so, if anything under 20 seconds, and you definitely have, you're overly sensitive to rising levels of carbon dioxide. And again, this is going to directly impact your performance when you're riding because you're going to trigger that holy crap, I need to breathe feeling even easier. So, so that's, what the BOLT test tells us. And again, why I was normal breath in, normal breath out, right? It just a normal breath out is just exhaling to a comfortable full exhale or a comfortable exhale, right? So I could do a normal breath out, and then I still have air that I can push out. Like I can go like, right, and push it all out. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a full maximum exhale. It's just a regular exhale, which for most people is going to be about 80% if you want to put a number on it. But that's what you're looking for. So anytime I say normal breath in and normal breath out, then that's what I'm referring to as far as the breathing out and holding on the exhale. And so along with that, the BOLT score is a simple self-screen that you can do. And again, I've already touched on one of the tests that you can do, which is put your hand right above your belly button and then breathing in through the nose and out through the nose and see, do you feel your hand pushing out, do you feel the pressure pushing the hand out on the when you breathe in? And then as you breathe out, does it come in? And so, again, you may notice that it's going backwards, right? Doing that in reverse. You may notice that it's not really doing it at all. You're having a tough time feeling that. And so that's would be an indication of poor breathing mechanics. Another thing that you need to check though is a good breathing should have 360 degrees of pressure pushing down on the on in the abs down there, right? So what I mean by that is I'll show you, pop this down here. So take a C grip and you put it right on your lower floating ribs, right? So not on the soft stuff, but right on the bottom ribs. And then now when you breathe in, you should feel your hands push out. And as you breathe out, and they come in. Okay, so that's where people who are like, oh no, I got belly breathing, I'm good at belly breathing. When you go to this Superman pose and start checking, well, do the ribs expand as well? Do you feel it on the sides? A lot of people lose it there. And that's where they've been overly focused on belly breathing and feel like, well, as long as my belly's moving in and out, that's good breathing mechanics. But that's not it, right? It's not just the belly, but also the ribs and also the lower back, like being able to put your hands on the lower back there towards the bottom of the ribs and feel like as you breathe in, you feel some expansion. And as you breathe out, you feel that pressure go away. So, the diaphragm should be pushing 360 degrees out. Or creating that pressure at 360 degrees throughout the abdomen down there. And so you want to check and see, is that happening? And then along with that, also checking the chest, right? Putting your hand on your chest. And then as you're breathing, do you feel, see the hand move up and down? Do you see your shoulders move up and down? And so then that's again, indication of bad breathing mechanics. But, checking the little self screen there, right? The belly, the Superman, and the chest, and seeing how are you breathing, how are your breathing mechanics, gives you a pretty good picture of where you're at, right? Like, are you over breathing with the breaths per minute? Are you overly sensitive to CO2 through the Bolt score? And how are your breathing mechanics? What muscles are you actually using to breathe through that self screen? And remember too that breathing dysfunctions may be context specific. So you may find that, well, I breathe fine sitting here, but if I start walking or running or on my bike, you may find that you start to develop or use less optimal breathing habits. So that's why it's important to check yourself in different positions, but especially if you're a mountain biker, like getting on a stationary bike. And again, it's going to be difficult to get yourself in the exact position. But get yourself pedaling and then check and see, how are you breathing to again see if you're using good breathing mechanics while you're actually on the bike performing. So once you've done that, like I said, you've got a pretty good idea of where you're at. And if you pass all of those, then great. Just keep doing what you're doing. Okay, but odds are one or more of those things you probably didn't get the best score on, or you didn't feel like you were able to feel the pressure in the right areas, as much as you want. So that means that you got some things to work on. And so as we're looking at, how do we improve these things, you want to keep in mind a couple things, or three things really. Okay, so breathing will impact your body in three different ways. Okay, the first is biochemical. It's going to directly affect your blood gases, right? The ratio of oxygen and to CO2. And then also it's going to affect your pH levels. Like, are you more acidic, more base? But those two things are going to those two biochemical things are going to be directly impacted by your breathing. The other one is biomechanical. Okay. Like, what muscles are you using to breathe? And so again, I already touched on that. If you're using muscles that aren't intended to be respiratory muscles, well, that's going to lead to less efficient movement and performance, when you're training and riding. And then finally, the stress response. Like, what is the impact that your breathing method is going to have on stress and anxiety levels? And so again, I already touched on how like the vertical breathing can lead to higher stress because that's a breathing pattern that is usually associated with a high stress environment, and your body doesn't know that slow bear is not really there. And so that can, have an impact on your stress levels. Fast, shallow breathing, chest breathing is going to impact stress levels negatively. So there's a lot of different ways. But the way that we're looking at this through science is through HRV, right? Heart rate variability. And heart rate variability is a window into your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. Right, the autonomic nervous system that is controlling things beneath the conscious level. So sorry about that. I've got to turn my phone off there. Got a little distracted there. Apologize about that. The HRV is what is how you're able to tell like where how this is are you a little more on the sympathetic, a little stress or parasympathetic, right? Rest and recovery, right? So there's a teeter-totter there. And so you're always, the trying to balance that teeter-totter. And when that teeter-totter gets stressed too far to one side, right? Especially if it's the stress response, the sympathetic nervous system is overly excited, then that's where you start to get overtraining and just things that are associated with high stress levels. Okay, and so they've shown that different breathing patterns can impact your HRV and raise or lower it. A bunch of different stuff can affect it. But breathing is one way that you can hack directly into your that autonomic nervous system and affect your stress levels. And so just knowing this, thinking about like, okay, so whenever we're looking at improving our breathing, we need to look at it through these three dimensions: the biochemistry, the biomechanics, and also what is the stress response? What is the impact it's having on our stress response? And is that the one that we want, right? Because sometimes if you're getting ready to perform, then you want to maybe be ramping things up a little bit, right? Like there's a sweet spot where you don't want to be too relaxed, you don't want to be overly stressed, right? And so, but if you may find yourself needing to use some breathing techniques to actually raise your stress levels and raise your alertness a little bit. But anyways, it's you can use it for either one. But to the this means that your breathing is going to have three elements or do three things, right? LSD. Where does the LSD come from? That was in the title there. And so yeah, we're not talking about LSD, the hallucinogenic drug. We're talking about LSD, an acronym for light, slow, and deep, right? So light breathing is going to, specifically using your nose to breathe as much as possible. Light breathing is going to affect the biochemistry. Okay, that's gonna help with avoid overbreathing, which is gonna have an impact on the biochemistry. Slow is basically match your breathing to your effort level. And so if you're not in a stressful situation, then your breathing should be nice and slow. And the slow breathing will have an impact on your stress response. Again, if your exhale is as long or longer than your inhale, then generally that's going to tip you towards the rest and relax side of things. And the opposite, right? If your exhale is quick, and is faster than your inhale, then that will tend to tip you towards the stress side of things. And so, so usually, typically, you want that breathing to be as slow as you can for the situation, right? Like when you're performing, what slow means is contextual, right? And so, when we're just sitting here relaxing, slow is going to mean something different than when I'm on my bike riding. But I still want to have that same basic concept of breathing as slowly and controlled as I can, based on the context. And that is going to help control the stress response. If I start breathing faster than I need to, then that's going to perhaps impact my stress response negatively. And so again, like before a race, you're standing there on the starting line and controlling your breathing, making sure that you're not allowing your breathing to speed up and get away from you. And you start with the like, right? And start getting yourself stressed out, making sure you're maintaining, right? Like the long, slow exhales and slowing the breathing down. That'll help control the pre-race anxiety. And so, and then finally, deep, right? The D in the LSD is deep. And that means breathing deep into the lungs using the diaphragm. And diaphragm is going to tie directly into biomechanics. Okay. And so, light, slow, and deep. If you're doing those things, right? Breathing light, breathing slow, and breathing deep, then you're going to be, in general, more than likely having good breathing, right? And so, applying those things to different contexts is kind of the key there. But just kind of touching on these three things with the light, and this ties into nasal breathing. I touched on this, but we are made to breathe through our noses, right? The mouth is there to talk and to eat and act as an air intake and CO2 exhale during super high intensity stressful situations. And that's it, right? Besides that, we should be using our nose to breathe. And one of the things that breathing through the nose is going to do is it's going to create natural resistance to help prevent overbreathing. You're going to be way more likely to overbreathe if you're a mouth breather than if you're a nose breather. And that's just because the nose creates natural resistance that stops you from like the, right? It's not as easy to do that with the nose. Like you're kind of forced to slow your breathing down and breathe a little lighter. When you breathe through your nose, you're getting nitrous oxide in your bloodstream. It's a gas that pools in your sinus cavity, and it is a vasodilator. And so it opens up the blood vessels and makes it easier for the blood to flow through. When you breathe through your nose, it's cleaning the air that's going into the lungs. You know, that's why we have mucus and hair up there, is it is to clean the air before it actually gets into our lungs. And then finally, it conditions the air that gets into our lungs. And so it matches the temperature and humidity level to what is, you know, optimal for the lungs. Now, none of this happens when you mouth breathe. When you mouth breathe, you're going to be way more likely to be overbreathing because there's no resistance. Or very little resistance there. You're not getting the nitrous oxide. It's whatever you breathe in, man, the cleanliness and the temperature and humidity, that's what's hitting your lungs. And so mouth, the breath of air that goes through your nose is much different than the breath of air that comes in through your mouth. And it's much more beneficial to breathe through your nose. But again, it'll help you control the speed and how you know, the light breathing. Matching your breathing to your effort level. And again, we're just talking about, like, you know, generally at rest and at sleep, you need to be slowing your breathing down. When you are avoiding overbreathing, right, slowing things down, then you're not blowing off the CO2 as much, right? So you're not going to have those chronically lowered levels of CO2. Their slower breathing, like I touched on, is going to help control anxiety and arousal levels. And so it's again, slow breathing is a great way to keep yourself from, you know, if you feel the anxiety and stress coming on, you know, I guarantee you, your breathing is, you know, you're probably tight breathing with the neck and shoulders, right? Slowing that down can definitely help. So all of a sudden I'm a super popular guy this morning. And finally, anticipating hard efforts and increasing your breathing before you need to is a great way to improve your performance. And so, and what I mean by that is so overbreathing when you don't, just all the time, unconsciously is no good. But overbreathing specifically because you know you have a hard effort coming up and you want to go ahead and blow off some CO2 and raise the oxygen levels and get ready for that hard work. That's a good strategic way to use overbreathing. And so you can, like, again, one of the things I've recommended is that you got a hill coming up. Instead of waiting till you're halfway up the hill and it's getting hard and that forces you to start breathing harder, then start breathing harder at the bottom. Shift to a higher breathing gear, and you'll find that you're able to push harder longer if you start breathing before you need to. Breathe in anticipation of the hard effort, right? Like, I think about it like it's a, you know, a old steam-powered locomotive, and you got to shovel coal into the boiler to get it to go. And you see a big hill coming up. You're not going to wait till you're halfway up that hill and start running out of steam to start shoveling more coal into the fire, right? Like, you're going to start shoveling more coal into the fire at the bottom and use that to gain momentum into the hill. And oxygen is that coal. Like, that is the coal that stokes your metabolic fire. And so if you start shoveling that coal in at the bottom of the hill in anticipation, you're going to find that you're going to be able to cruise through that hill easier than if you had waited and started trying to shovel that coal in halfway up. And so that's the matching your breathing with your effort level. And then finally, breathing with the diaphragm. When you breathe with the diaphragm, it's going to draw the oxygen into the bottom of the lungs. And the way that the lungs are set up, they're big triangles. Okay, and so breathing into the bottom of the lungs is gonna have more surface space and more blood for gas exchange. And so, just, you know, gravity pulls blood towards the bottom of the lungs. Again, the bottom of the lungs, you have more surface area down there. And so you're gonna have much more efficient gas exchange, getting the oxygen in and the CO2 and other waste products out if you're breathing deeply into your lungs, right? And so again, breathing deep doesn't mean take as big a breath as you can. It means breathing deeply into the lungs using the diaphragm. So you're starting at the bottom. And so again, you can breathe light and slow and still breathe deep, right? A light breath into the diaphragm is still a deep breath. Breathing with your diaphragm also triggers more of a parasympathetic response, which helps control anxiety and arousal levels. And again, this goes back to that HRV stuff that I was talking about. But breathing with your diaphragm is associated with the lowered levels of stress. Okay, and then finally, breathing with your diaphragm is going to allow you to brace with your abdominal muscles instead of using those muscles to breathe. And again, like one of the studies that we saw in the courses that I was taking, the conclusion was is that until you normalize breathing, you can't normalize any movement pattern. So this means that if you are into functional movement and functional training and you want to move as efficiently and functional as possible, then you have to normalize your breathing. You have to have functional breathing as the foundation for that. Because as long as you have dysfunctional breathing and you're using other muscles to help you breathe, and those muscles are not going to be available to help you move, and you're going to be using dysfunction to get around those muscles not being available to help you move. And so, you know, functional breathing is the foundation for functional movement. And so it's not really optional if you value that. And so between these three things, right? Nasal breathing, matching your breathing to your effort level, and then breathing with the diaphragm. These are how you practically implement the LSD formula, the light, slow, deep, right? So breathe with the nose, match your breathing to your effort level, and then make sure you're breathing with your diaphragm. And so some things that you can do to help you with this, some daily practices. One is an exercise known as breathe light. And it's just like it sounds. It's you're gonna sit or lie down, get comfortable, and then set a timer for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and then you're just gonna breathe light, and you're gonna breathe in and out through the nose, and you're just monitoring the air going in and out through the nose. That's your whole world, is just feeling the air going in and out through your nose. And if your attention wanders, that's totally fine. Just bring it back. The point isn't to have your attention perfectly on the air going in and out through your nose the whole time. This is a chance for you to strengthen your attention and notice when your attention wanders, and then to bring it back. So this is also a form of mindfulness practice or meditation or whatever words you want to use. But besides helping your breathing mechanics and your blood gas levels and all those things, it's also going to help you mentally through that increased ability to control your attention. Okay. So, but the way that it works is you're monitoring your breathing going in and out through the nose, and you want to make sure that when you breathe in, it is soft and quiet. Okay, so if you were to have a piece of paper or a feather under your nose as you're breathing in and out, you'd want to try to disturb that as little as possible. And you want it to be quiet, which means that you shouldn't be able to hear yourself breathe, much less somebody sitting next to you, right? And so you want to be soft and quiet. And as you're breathing in, you want to make sure that you're breathing deep. Okay, we touched on that already. So if you need to at first, go ahead and put your hand on your belly just to kind of reinforce that. The feeling, the pressure pushing the hand out as you're breathing in, and the pressure going away as you breathe out. And then finally, as you breathe out, you should feel yourself relax. Okay, it should be like a total body feeling of relaxation. So you're breathing in and out. Right, and that's it. Okay, so you're breathing as little as you need to, as light as you can, to not trigger a strong air hunger. Okay, that's the term they use for when you start to get that I need to breathe feeling. So a little bit of air hunger is good, right? But you're not looking to, you don't want this to be stressful. And so you're trying to find that line, like how little can I breathe, how light can I breathe, to you know, just walk that edge. And that right there is going to do a lot towards helping with your breathing mechanics, towards helping with the LSD formula, helping, you know, with overbreathing. And so there's a lot of different benefits that that breathe light exercise is going to have for you, along with the mindfulness and attention benefits. Another thing that you can do is mouth taping at night. And I touched on this earlier, but snoring leads to sleep apnea, which is just a terrible thing to do to you. It's just not healthy for you, okay? And so to avoid that, you can do mouth taping. Now, the easiest thing to do, I forgot to grab some scotch tape. But just take a piece of scotch tape, you know, about like that long, and put it on the middle of your lip, right? So it's just gonna cover the, like that. So I can still breathe, I can still talk outside of my mouth, But what it does is it encourages my lips to stay closed. And so if you do this at night and you're gonna you wake up in the morning and it's open, right? Then you know, oh man, I'm mouth breathing really badly. And so maybe use two pieces the next night or whatever. But you don't need to go crazy, like duct tape your mouth shut or anything like that, right? It doesn't need to be something that can cause panic where you're like, holy crap, I can't breathe. But you want to just have a little bit of resistance to encourage your body to breathe through the nose at night instead of just automatically opening and going to the mouth. And again, if you're trying to improve your breathing mechanics during the day and then at night you're just having crappy breathing mechanics, you're breathing through your mouth, over-breathing, you're working against yourself, right? You've got to get your breathing at night fixed up in order to help that. And again, it's going to improve your sleep. It's going to improve your recovery. There's so many things that'll happen when you stop mouth breathing at night. So mouth taping, and then finally, periodically checking in on your breathing throughout the day. And so whether it's setting a little reminder every half an hour or hour, but just check in. How am I breathing right now? Right? Am I sitting here with my mouth open? Like there's a term that they use in one of the courses called email apnea or phone apnea, right? Like you'll be surprised. You'll be sitting there answering emails on your phone, and all of a sudden you check in and you're like, holy crap, like I've stopped breathing. Like I'm sitting here with my mouth open and I've stopped breathing. And that's not good. Okay. And so, periodically checking in and seeing what are my breathing mechanics right now? I'm sitting here with my mouth open and my mouth is dry. Well, obviously I've been mouth breathing. So I need to, consciously go back to nose breathing. Maybe check in and do the little like hand on the belly and Superman and just kind of reinforce those mechanics. But that periodic check-in throughout the day is going to help a lot with your breathing mechanics because again, the breathe light will help. But again, if you're doing that for 10 to 15 minutes and then throughout the rest of the day, you're just breathing however, it's really going to take a long time for you to make a noticeable impact on your breathing mechanics and all the other things that come along with that. So just an easy periodic check-in throughout the day, mouth taping at night, and that breathe light exercise will go a long, long ways towards helping you improve your breathing mechanics and all the things that go along with that. So cool. So that's pretty much it, what I got here. I mean, there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes into this. We haven't even started to touch on the performance side of things. Using breath holds to improve your cardio and CO2 tolerance and stuff, and how to use breathing to improve your strength and mobility. So there's a whole performance side of breathing as well. But really, the foundational stuff is what I've covered in this little presentation here, which is understanding the LSD formula, right? That when you breathe, you want it to be light, you want it to be slow, and you want it to be deep. And we do this by breathing through our nose as much as possible, matching our breathing to our effort level, and making sure we're breathing with our diaphragm. And then to that end, you're using the breathe light exercise, you're mouth taping at night, and you're periodically checking in on your breathing throughout the day. If you're doing that, like you're gonna see improvements. There's no way that you can't. Your body wants to breathe better, right? It knows the better way to breathe. And if you give it the opportunity, it's just like movement, right? Like you develop movement dysfunctions. And so through proper training, you can give your body the chance to go back to the optimal way of moving, the way that it wants to move. And same thing with breathing. Like you just need to give it the opportunity to relearn how, the optimal way to do it. And it wants to do that. And so this is just like, functional training. This is functional breathing, and both take some focus and effort while you're training. But as you get better at it, you don't have to think about it as much, right? Like first time you start working out and someone shows you the right way to do a deadlift, a hip hinge, you had to think about it a lot. But the more you do it, the less you got to think about it, the more natural it becomes. Same thing here. So just take that same approach that you've used towards getting better on your bike, getting better, in the gym, getting better at pretty much anything in life, and applying it to this, and you'll be guaranteed success. So, anyways, if you want some more information on this, you can check me out at bikejames.com. Just do a search there for breathing or breath work. I've got a bunch of different posts and articles and podcasts and stuff that I've done covering this subject. And yeah, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this and gotten some good information. I appreciate the chance to practice my presentation before I go do it to a live audience that's actually staring at me this evening. But yeah, if you had the chance to join me for this, I really appreciate you taking the time. And if you're watching the replay, hopefully you get something good out of it. But I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up, and I'll talk to everybody next time.